Well, good morning, KRFY listeners, and thanks for tuning in to the morning show today, Wednesday, July 1st. Welcome to July for 2026.
What happened to June?
Right. I'm Susie Prez, here to bring news, information, events, and weather, and an interview with folks from the Kinnexu Land Trust. We'll get to them in just a minute. There's a lot going on at Kinnexu Land Trust. Great organization. KRFY wants to thank Kinnexu Land Trust for being a valued and vital underwriter here at our community radio station. It's a community that supports a community. So thank you for that. Today, my guests are Janine Smith, Development and Operations Associate. Good morning, Janine.
Good morning.
Glad to have you. And along with, who just drove in from Montana, Montana Outreach Coordinator Kayla Mosier. Good morning, Kayla.
Hello.
Thanks for coming all the way in from Montana.
Yeah.
Was it a beautiful drive today?
It was. It was a really nice morning for it.
Okay. Glad to have you. We want to get to what's going on at Kinnexu Land Trust. There is a lot. It's not just the land trust, but our listeners don't know a lot about what that means because we have new listeners all the time. But first, we're going to do the weather. Always makes sense to do that, right? Currently, at the National Weather Service, we have 54 degrees with a high today of 75, partly sunny. Low tonight, 48, partly cloudy. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We'll just go right through. Saturday is the 4th of July. Thursday, high of 77, low of 52, mostly sunny. Friday, high of 79. Here we go into some warmer weather with a low of 52. Bright sunshine on Friday and Saturday, a high of 81. There's not much more to say except here comes summer. It's always the 4th of July that kind of brings in the summer weather for us. So welcome to summer. Well, let's get to our interview. I know that, and I really thank you for sending me your talking points, but let's start with the Kinnexu Land Trust. A land trust. What is a land trust? It's a basic mission and its current programs and acquisitions, but let's get to really what is a land trust and its basic mission.
Well, a land trust, and Kayla can also chip in on this because she works. Kinnexu Land Trust covers the region of Bonner and Boundary County, as well as Sanders County, Montana. And we've been around since 2002, so quite a long time. We work with property owners, largely, who are interested in preserving the rural nature of land that they own. And so we work with them on something called a conservation easement. And it's a legal document that's added to property so that basically their property can be sold, can be passed on to heirs, can move on down the line, but it can't be subdivided. And so for rural areas like North Idaho and where we live, where we've seen so much growth and large swaths of property that have become subdivisions, land conservation easements allow people to preserve that quality of working farmlands, working forest, and community access. Something that's a common misperception about a land trust is that we purchase or own a lot of land. We do own some land, but the vast majority of land that we own, almost 7,000 acres, that's held privately. And property owners can pass it on to children, they can pass it on to grandchildren. The caveat is that it cannot be subdivided. And we as a land trust, we help protect that land by checking in annually with property owners, by describing what those restrictions are when property moves to a new owner. Yes, we do own property, about 400 acres. People here may know the Pine Street Woods. They may know the Sled Hill. They may know Cabinet View Nature Area in Montana. That's property that we own that we manage for public recreation and public use.
Kind of a holding of public land.
Yes.
In a small way. But when you're talking about, and you mentioned this, and I think it's an important point, that in a conservation easement, that land is protected from subdividing, but within the family, and then the family can sell it, but the title, the land itself, is restricted to staying one owner kind of thing. Yes. There may be some leeway there. And I think that's an important thing to understand somehow, that if you have land that you just love and you want to make sure it's on a river, it's on a prairie, and you want to make sure that it does not lose that essence, that beauty.
Exactly.
You can sell it still, but it is preserved in a sense.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, you get us. Yeah, we look at property if it has value for, is it working land? Is it a wildlife corridor? Is it have an elk trail, or is it a place where grizzly bears, you know, might be on a corridor, a migration corridor? We look at other wildlife values. We look at the value of water quality. Is it working farmland that if it was sold without a conservation easement, it would be likely to be subdivided? And we get phone calls in our office every day from people who call us and say, I'm making my planning. I am worried that my grandchildren would probably just want to take this land and parcel it up. I want to talk to the land trust about what a conservation easement is. And that's what we love. That's what we do.
It's like a land legacy. You're leaving a legacy of
that's
land.
That's an excellent way to look at it. You should come work for us.
Well, I think, anyone who knows anything about Kinnexu Land Trust, and you start understanding the basic mission, what you just described, it's a wonderful thing, and a ton of support can go out for that kind of thing. When you say you preserve the title, so to speak, from development, you've bought some land, and you described that, Pine Street Woods, the Sledding Hill,
right,
something in Montana. So you don't really pay the landowner anything to preserve their land. Or is there an exchange of some sort?
The short answer is sometimes.
Okay.
So there is a value, and I don't know if cost is the right word, and Kayla, if you have any ways to chip in on it. So I'm just thinking of a recent conservation easement that was completed out in Sagal on farmland that had been in a family for four generations. You know, if you have 500 acres and you decide you don't want that to be subdivided, that property may not have as much value because it cannot be subdivided. And so we do some work with property owners who come to us. We have found, funds, grants, organizations that help, pay for the cost of the lesser value, the cost of the easement. But then there's also tax advantages for property owners who go into a conservation easement, federal tax write-offs, deductions that can be quite valuable.
So it sounds like a partnership.
Yes. Yes, it's exactly what it is. And the thing is
to make this possible.
Yeah. Land trusts are one of the few nonprofits that basically go on forever, because when we enter into a conservation easement agreement with a property owner, we agree to help protect that conservation easement in perpetuity, forever. So we have, we raise funds because part of our mission requires us to continue to watch that land, keep an eye on that, even after it's passed down multiple generations. So there, 30 years, 100 years from now, there's going to be a Kinnexu Land Trust checking on the lands that have conservation easements, helping work with landowners forever. It's very strange. I've never worked for someplace that is a forever kind of organization.
And it sounds like there's a lot of, not a lot, but some legal requirements, so you must work with some lawyers or some deed.
We work with lawyers, title agencies, attorneys, surveyors, quite a few professionals to make it happen. It can take a couple of years to go through a conservation easement, but then it can also take 6 or 7 months, kind of just depending on And every single conservation easement is different. Every property owner has different things that they're bringing to the table, things that they want to work with to make sure that their heirs understand and support.
Yeah, that was the point I wanted to bring up, is that each easement is created in partnership with the landowner, and that they can set the rules. You know, the typical guidelines are that this land stays as one whole chunk, but each easement can kind of have smaller sub-rules. You know, one might say, no more buildings. Another one might say, we'll allow one or two more buildings so that, you know, when the children and grandchildren take it over, they're able to add houses to it. And so it's really catered to the property and the property owner, each and every one. It starts from scratch. It's not a, you know,
it's not cookie cutter.
Right? Yeah.
It really is an individual recipe. And it's really something that property owners have to be comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like there's a lot to it. This is the land conservation easement part of Kinnexu Land Trust. There's a lot to what you're doing, and not all land trusts, and they're all over the country, stick just to conservation easement. This Kinnexu Land Trust has kind of evolved into a little bit more. So the evolved part is the acquisitions that you mentioned earlier. We have the Pine Street Woods, the historic sledding hill, and now Astor Garden Center, and what's the thing in Montana called?
It's called the Cabinet View Nature Area.
Okay.
It's a 75, 76 acre property.
It's kind of on the other side of the river out near Clark Fork.
Right, yeah, oh. Just barely over the state border in Montana.
It's got a lovely loop trail. I mean, after being at the Land Trust for almost 3 years, I finally made it to Cabinet View last month for a walk. It's beautiful.
Lots of four or five acquisitions. But the majority of the work of Kinnexu Land Trust is the conservation easements. And how many of those are in process? How many of those are finished and then just monitored? Is any idea at all?
We have almost 7,000 acres in a 3-county area of completed conservation easements. I think that's a 40 easements. And we have some that are an acre or two.
Okay.
And then we have a 2,000 acre easement.
And some
And
in
it ranges
process.
In between. And then we have over 9,000 acres in process in the pipeline that we're actively working with property owners right now to create conservation easements. And then, like I mentioned before, we get calls every day from mm-hmm. people just wanting to learn more about it.
I'm sure of that. Someone who might be listening, and this has maybe sparked that idea in them for their land, their beautiful piece of property, or something that means they want to put down a land legacy, how would they contact you? We'll say this many times.
Call our office, 208-263-9471. Go to our website, www.kinnexu.org. This is our passion. This is what we love to do.
Mm-hmm.
We love to talk about our community of North Idaho and how to make it a place that we continue to love for all the many reasons that we love. We talk about at KLT the three C's: conservation, that's conservation easements, community, our North Idaho community, and connection, and working with partners, whether it's tribes or other nonprofits, municipal governments, about many different projects that we're involved with.
So we're going to get to who you are in just a minute, but I want to, we've talked about the conservation easements and how that works and what a real land trust is about. We're very fortunate to have one here in this area with Western Montana, a three-county
service area.
And so that's Bonner, Boundary, and
Sanders County,
Western Montana. Perfect. There's also these acquisitions. Let's just briefly talk about Pine Street Woods, Historic Sledding Hill, and now Astor Garden Designs and the...
Cabinet View Nature Area. It's a long name.
I didn't write that one down, but I'm going to. Why would that kind of expand Kinnexu Land Trust's mission and the work you do? What are those four acquisitions? And just briefly.
The impetus for owning land as opposed to just working with landowners over the years has really come from the community. People went the property that was Pine Street Woods, when it came up for sale, people came to us and said, this is property that has been used, you know, by the public, even though it was private property. It's been used for recreation. I mean, I talked to people who, you know, rode horses on the trails in the 50s, and then dirt bikes, and then hiking, and the same with the
sled
hill.
Up in Pine Street Woods.
Up at Pine Street Woods, and then the sled hill is adjacent to Pine Street Woods. And that went up for sale, and, you know, the community said, this has been just a beloved property, private property, but with community access over the years for sledding. You know, they had the rope tow up there. You know, the pictures of the early days at the sled hill. I just love seeing those. And so the community came to us and said, we think that Kinnexu Land Trust would be good stewards of these properties. And so we had two very large fundraising campaigns to raise the money, and we wrote a lot of grants. We got support from private individuals, foundations, state and federal, you know, organizations. So we own those, but we manage them for public access. We have our summer camp Kinnexu for kids 6 to 18 at Pine Street Woods and the Sled Hill. Last week they were out looking for bullfrogs and getting in the mud and the pond. The pond at the Sled Hill is so much fun.
I think one thing, you just mentioned the Camp Kinnexu. It's one of the things, talk about fundraising. You're always fundraising in a nonprofit.
I know.
It's a big deal. And one of the things I thought in looking over some of the work you're doing is that no child who wants to attend Camp Kinnexu would be denied that because you raise scholarship money to pay for the fee to have the camp and pay for the counselors and stuff. And I know a few people whose children go there, mm-hmm. and they just love it. The kids are out in the woods, and that's kind of a picture of who we are here in North Idaho. Our children like to be outside. So you have Camp Kinnexu. You have also a folk school, and then you have educational outreach to the public schools and probably all the schools. So these kind of programs fit into the mission of Kinnexu Land Trust in a big way, the acquisitions and also the programs.
It's all about providing opportunities for people to connect to the land. We've seen a huge benefit of, you get people outside in these, you know, public access properties, and they see what it takes to, you know, conserve land and steward the land. And then they're more likely to come back and be better land stewards themselves.
So that's like, it really fits in. So what else can we say on the picture? I think we've pretty much covered the picture of Kinnexu Land Trust and its programs and acquisitions. It really fits into the mission quite well. We'll just say that. So let's get to who you are. You've come all the way from Montana, Kayla Mosier. You're the Montana Outreach Coordinator. What does your work include? That would be fun to know.
I feel like coordinator really is a good definition of my job, because it's all about bringing people together, bringing partnerships together with different organizations, you know, government agencies, and making sure that there are opportunities for people to connect to the land. So I'm out there in Montana, you know, spreading the word of who we are as Kinnexu Land Trust, and making sure there are those, you know, public access opportunities. There are those educational opportunities or other events that get people outside where they might not otherwise.
So when you say you want to provide opportunities, what are some of those, just as an example?
one example of a program I put on in the summer, which also happens here in Sandpoint at Pine Street Woods, we call Trails and Tales. So it's a weekly walk every Wednesday. We borrow books from the public library in Thompson Falls, and same goes here in Sandpoint with their public library. And those books are typically related to nature in some way. And we walk around a mile with kids and families on easy trails. And, you know, we take breaks and read those books. And it provides families and children an opportunity to get out and experience nature in a group setting, which is sometimes more appealing than going out by yourself.
And so this happens out in Thompson Falls and in Sandpoint up at Pine Street Woods. I'm just going to throw out a suggestion that you can put into your pocket and maybe take back to your planning group: storytelling. Maybe you've already done it, but you know, there are many people who have amazing stories about connecting to the land they love and the water they recreate on and things like that in this area.
That's great.
Yeah. And I think storytelling is a lost art, but it's available. Anyways, we'll keep moving on from that thought. You can write that down.
Yeah.
So back to Montana. So you're talking about, what was the thing called on Wednesday night?
Trails and Tales.
Trails
so
and
in
Tales.
Thompson Falls, we do it every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Montana time, of course. And we meet at what's called the Power Park. That's there in Thompson Falls. And then we walk the Powerhouse Loop Trail that's right connected to it.
Do you in Sandpoint at Pine Street Woods, Tuesday mornings. And we partner with the Bonner County Library. And so they work with us. And meeting at the Pine Street Woods parking lot at 9:30. I hope I'm getting the time right.
Okay.
It's on our calendar on our website, if that's wrong. I'm pretty sure it's 9:30.
Well, they can always call and find out or go to the website, right?
Yes,
that's
thank you.
Always a good thing. It's called kinicsu.org is the website. And Kayla, do you have an office there in Thompson Falls?
I don't. I just work from home.
Okay.
And
probably come into Sandpoint on occasion?
Yeah, occasionally come down here to work with the rest of the KLT team. But in Thompson Falls, I frequently meet, you know, people out in the community, whether like if we're meeting one-on-one, we go to a coffee shop, and or I work with our county extension office a lot and do a lot of meetings out of their offices.
Mm-hmm. So you have Trails and Tales on Wednesday night. What other programs do you kind of spark people's inspiration and interest with the work you're
doing? There's so many. How do you pick?
Yeah, there's a lot. I also, you know, most of the work I do is in partnerships, you know. And so one of our big partners, too, providing outdoor access, not necessarily programming, but working with the Thompson Falls Community Trails, which is a local nonprofit of volunteers, where we have a handful of trails that we help maintain and steward and make sure that the access is open on those. And along with that partnership, we have been working on a new pathway. It's been called the Eastward Extension Trail. And now this has been in talks in Thompson Falls for over 8 years, long before I personally was involved or KLT either. It's been a longstanding thing that the community wants, because if you've ever driven through Thompson Falls, you know that the community is kind of broken into two sections. We've got our downtown section, and then you drive along the reservoir. The highway is really tight right there. There's the railroad on one side, the reservoir on the other. The highway has no shoulders. And then on that eastward side of town is our grocery store, hardware store, kind of some, you know, other important community assets. And because of the way, you know, the railroad and reservoir are so close to this highway with no shoulder, there's no safe way for pedestrians to, you know, walk or bike, you know, from the downtown and the main residential area down to the grocery store. And so
do you have a plan for that?
Yeah, we've been partnering with, the Thompson Falls Community Trails Group, with the city of Thompson Falls, the county, Sanders County government, to look at creating a pathway in that area. It would essentially be a boardwalk over the reservoir, where there's not the land space to hold the pathway, and then beyond there, kind of a regular gravel path to improve safety.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a good plan. What I'm looking at your talking points. I understand that you recently won an award. I don't know if it was you personally, but can you tell us about
it? It was.
That? Okay.
It was Kayla.
The famous
Kayla.
Because
she's awesome.
Okay. Yeah. So another one of my major partnerships over there is Thompson Falls Main Street. And I've worked with them over the last several years since I started my position back in 2022. And so the mission of Thompson Falls Main Street is to support the community beautification of, you know, the downtown area and supporting businesses and getting community, you know, out and involved. And so a couple years ago, the president of that group was stepping down and needed someone to step up. So I ended up stepping into the role of the board president for Thompson Falls Main Street. And this year, we were awarded the Outstanding Local Coordinating Program Award from the Montana Main Street, which is within our state Department of Commerce. And that's kind of how the umbrella of Main Street organizations work throughout the country. There's the local program, a state program, and then a national program. And so we were given this award, I was told, highly because of the collaboration work that I have done within the community and bringing all these groups together and making sure, you know, this is continuing, because if I hadn't stepped into that role when I did, it was likely that this group would have just dissolved.
So good job. And congratulations. let's see. So basically, what is your background that makes this work that you're doing with Kinnexu Land Trust work for you and for the land trust?
Yeah. So I'm a Montana native. I was born and raised in Butte, Montana, and then moved to Thompson Falls with my husband, which is his hometown. And we've lived there the last 13 years and now have kids and dogs and a million cats. And so I had met my husband at the University of Montana, where I double majored in recreation management and resource conservation, with a minor in wilderness studies. And I went after that because I grew up with parents working in the disability services field. And my dad was a Special Olympics coach, like pretty much since he was in high school. So all growing up, I got to attend events as a volunteer and assistant coach with Special Olympics. And I just saw how awesome that was. And mm-hmm. I was like, if I could get paid to do this, but not just sports, because I mm-hmm. also just love being in the outdoors, you know, non-sport related, just to be in nature. Mm-hmm. And so I went after the recreation, especially because I wanted to help all types of people get outdoors.
Connecting people, building community.
Yeah.
With nature and outdoors kind of as a focus.
For sure. Okay. Yeah. So it's essentially what I exactly wanted to do.
Good job.
And Kayla has really been our point person for accessibility and working with different organizations and helping us look at our property and say, is this accessible to different communities who may have different challenges?
Very good work and important.
Yeah, and that's what I loved about Kinnexu Land Trust, too, is that, you know, even before I joined, it was a huge mission to KLT to get all types of people outdoors. And that was a huge mission with Pine Street Woods, you know, being close to Sandpoint's community as opposed to other mountain trails. It's closer where more people are able to get out there. There was, you know, kind of an all abilities trail built. there was accessibility in mind to get all people, not just those that can walk on two legs very easily, but mm-hmm. all sorts of people that can get out there and access the outdoors.
So one of the things I'm hearing as I listen to both of you speak is that, and we already touched on this a little bit, that a land trust can be more than just the conservation easement part of it, what you just described in Montana. And now we're going to switch over to the never-ending development. But before we do that, I want to remind the KRFY listeners that this is your community radio. KRFY is supported by making donations from our listeners, and you can do that by going to our website, krfy.org. And if you're listening to this interview this morning, you can, and you can't hear the whole thing, it will be a podcast on our website, krfy.org, later in the day, or we're rebroadcasting at 2 p.m. this afternoon. At any point in time, you can access this interview and find out more about the Kinnexu Land Trust and the amazing work you're doing. So I'm talking with Janine Smith. She's Development and Operations Associate, and Kayla Mosier. She's the Montana Outreach Coordinator here with Kinnexu Land Trust. That's what we're doing today. So let's switch over to Janine. The work you're doing, many people know that Kinnexu Land Trust conserves land and outdoors education, but there's a lot that it takes to make this happen. We've touched on some of that, raising funds. Tell us, what is Cedar Circle, and why did KLT, Kinnexu Land Trust, decide to create a monthly giving program? Just tell us about fundraising and what your job is. It's not just saying, give us money. It's developing programs that bring people together to want to support the vital work you're doing.
Well, again, I wish we could hire you, Susie. You really get us. It's
I've been in nonprofit for what, 30 years. So
you understand.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to get into this. Last week, I had the opportunity to go to a regional meeting for land trusts, Oregon, Washington, and Idaho, and I was down in Oregon. And talking to different land trusts, some of whom were much, much larger than ours, and some who were quite tiny, were just all sitting around talking. And when I mentioned I'm from Kinnexu Land Trust, and people knew who we were, and they knew who we were because we're known for how much we do. However, we are small, but we are mighty. Our full-time staff just went from 2 full-time staff to 3. And then we have a number of part-time staff. I'm part-time. Kayla's part-time. We have summer interns, summer college interns, who come back to Sandpoint, mostly have been from Sandpoint. But our education program is part-time. So how do we do all the amazing things that we do? And there's just so many more that we haven't even talked about. Well, the majority of our support comes from individuals, individual gifts and individual donors. We write grants to foundations and organizations and to the state. That's about 25%. And then we have programs, we have fundraisers, pairings in the pines.
That's coming up. Well, we're going to get to your programs. You had one last night. You have one tonight.
Right. Kayla's got a really amazing event in August, on August 1st, out in Sanders County, the Clark Fork Farm to Pedal. A really fun bike ride. It's not a race. Mm-hmm. It's a tour. I mean, I could do it. I did it 2 years ago.
So you're developing these programs that, again, bring people to understanding the importance of the work you're doing and kind of invoking their inspiration to possibly become part of it by becoming a donor.
Right. And so getting back to your question about the Cedar Circle, my background is public broadcasting, and public broadcasting has done a really good job of helping people understand that the monthly ongoing support, even if it's $10 a month, really helps nonprofits, ours included, know that our supporters are there for us. And so this year we have tried to send out the word more by branding our monthly program and calling it the Cedar Circle, because it's something that's strong, that it has roots, and that it provides support for our mission.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's fun, that has been fun about the Cedar Circle, is we also created a co-branded, what we call it, kind of a mug club. So when you're a monthly supporter of at least $10 a month or more, and it's just so easy to go in and just put it on your credit card. I mean, I don't know if that's a bad thing to suggest. No, it's a good thing, because it's called set it and forget it. You don't have to worry about it. And you spread it out over the year. And then when we have events, and now that we have Astor Garden Center, we have events. We mm-hmm. have one tonight. And so at events at Astor Garden Center, when we are having a social hour as such, you've got an engraved Cedar Circle pint glass with your name on it. And your first beverage is a complimentary beverage. And we have kombucha, we have bubble water, we have beer, we have wine. And I just love at our events seeing our Cedar Circle members walking around with their own mug, and then other people see it and they want to find out about it. And so it's something that it's educational, it's financial support, it's a sense of belonging. I'm a member of the Cedar Circle. I like my Cedar Circle mug. It stays.
A little incentive, a fun yeah, incentive.
A fun incentive, but yeah. It's just a way to let people know so, you can support us, and it doesn't have to just be a one-time thing.
So right on your website is a place you can probably a donate button and
the donate
join
button.
The Cedar Circle Club, so
yes.
to speak.
Thank you.
And I think of like $10 a month. Now that's a latte, basically.
It's one creeping up. Yep.
Yeah. A little bit less. Maybe.
I was just thinking special about latte. It yesterday, and I thought, okay, well, at $25, that's three or four
mm-hmm.
in a month, right. and you spread it out over the year.
Right. So. It's painless, actually. I do that for a couple nonprofits, and mm-hmm. it's really painless. You don't even know after a while. And it can be any amount, and it adds up. So how large is your Cedar Circle growing?
Since we've rebranded and started it, it's over doubled.
Wow. Good
and,
job.
And continuing to grow. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that tonight at Astor After Hours, you know, we'll have a separate table with everybody's engraved Cedar Circle mugs. And last month, we got two new at the last event. We got two or three new members. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It piques people's interest, and it draws them into the KLT family.
Right. Right. So that's one way you do fundraising, the grant writing, the just basic donors, events where people can make donations. So let's talk a little bit. Your signature event is called Pairings in the Pines. It's coming up in just a few days.
A week from tomorrow, Thursday, July 9th. And it started before I started mm-hmm. at the Land Trust. And
I've heard about it.
It's mm-hmm. a walk in the woods with wine.
And beyond raising funds, what do you hope guests take away from this event?
It's such fun to see groups of friends come up and go for a walk on our trails. And they are introduced to a winery. Our winery, Gifford Herlinger, is owned by Mike and Melissa Bergen. And Mike grew up in Sandpoint. He graduated from Sandpoint High School. He's now a Walla Walla winemaker. So people get to learn about the winemaker and the winery. He'll be here, he and his wife, to talk about their wines.
Is he a vintner? Vintner?
That's probably the word he would use. Uh-huh. He's a vintner. And then we work with local restaurants, because at each stop there are five different wines. And so, you know, Eichardt's, Beet and Basil, The Bank, Winter Ridge, and Bluebird Bakery all provide a very tasty gourmet appetizer at five different stations. And they do this very generously to support the cause. And so, you know, when you talk about takeaway, I hope that people, you know, just realize how generous our partners are.
Mm-hmm. And sponsors.
That, mm-hmm. And, you know, it's in the late afternoon. It starts at 4:30. It goes until about 8 p.m. And just kind of taking a little pause.
Are all the tickets sold?
We have been sold out for a week and a half.
Okay.
I have a huge waiting list.
Okay. And get on the list, or
you're welcome to call or email and get on the waiting list.
And think ahead for next year, possibly.
Exactly.
And maybe the program, this event, it's more of an event, will expand next time. But it sounds wonderful. get people out into the woods and have a really great night. One of the things about our community is the business partners are amazing. Yes. I know you know that.
Oh, yes.
And you mentioned Bluebird Bakery, Eichart's, say the other ones that will be...
A Beaten Basil, The Bank, Winter Ridge.
Okay. So thank you to all those business partners. And you also have a partner sponsorship program. And that's what we're talking about. Different ways that businesses can participate. And they're amazing in this town, by the way. We know that. So thank
you. Local businesses get asked for a lot. And they give.
And they give.
A lot. Mm-hmm. They really understand. And our partner sponsors, who we ask to commit at a minimum level on an annual basis, they understand our mission. They support what we do, and mm-hmm. and we love them. We try to work with them to support what they do mm-hmm. as well. We like it to be a two-way street. So, you know, we might, you know, Outdoor Experience has their Monday night runs. And so we might show up and have snacks and beverages for them. Or Alpine Shop, you know, did a bike event up at Pine Street Woods. So we were there for them with beverages and support. We love to work with the partners.
Thank you to the business community who constantly gives too. And the good news is that Kinnexu Land Trust has such a great mission, and the not just a mission, but the work you're actually doing. And another one of those programs is Camp Kinnexu, where kids, tell us a little bit about that, are designed that every child can participate regardless of financial situation, and the community supports and helps to make this possible. We did kind of touch on what Camp Kinnexu does. It gets children out into the woods to have a, this is North Idaho. We want that for our children.
So much.
And it really makes a difference in their unfolding and their development as a human to have that experience. So just a little bit about Camp Kinnexu. Well, it's ongoing throughout the whole summer.
It's 6 weeks of camps, six individual camps, mm-hmm. Starting for, was it 6 to 9 year olds and then mm-hmm. 10 to 14 year olds?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
A week of camp. Teenagers. The youngest kids, it's day camp. The next level, they do 3 days of camp and one overnight, or 4 days of camp and an overnight. And then we have two canoe camps for high schoolers. Mm-hmm. And they'll be camping and floating down the Pend'Oreille River mm-hmm. this summer. And we try to keep our prices affordable for families, because we all know how expensive it is to live here. We provide scholarships when asked. This year, we got a very generous gift from Lighthouse Foods to support our scholarship and food program. We provide lunch and snacks, so nobody has to come to camp, you know, without a lunch or without a snack. The Idaho Community Foundation has also supported camps and camp scholarships, because we see people who want to get their kids outdoors, and if it's not affordable, we make it happen for them.
Yeah, and when a kid signs up, you know, we have all these weeks, but each kid participates just for 5 days, one, you know, work week. Mm-hmm. So we typically have 2 different weeks for each age group, and that's about as much as we're able to take in.
Sure.
And they always sell out, and we have a waiting list for those, and we're always being asked to do more.
I have a feeling that Camp Kinnexu will be expanding as the years go forward here, because it's such a popular thing. I know some of the students or children that go there. So looking ahead, what do you hope the legacy of this community support will be for future generations across the Kinnexu region, as far as it's always continuing but increasing support, these partnerships through the Cedar Circle, through the business partnerships, through all the different ways that you raise and increase your development outreach and things like that? I know that's a kind of open-ended question.
Yeah. My hope is that when people are engaging with us, whether it's through putting their kids to camp or they're mountain biking, or maybe they're considering a conservation easement, or maybe they've just decided to join the Cedar Circle or come to an event, they are investing in their community. They're investing in themselves, and they're investing in the future. Because so much of what we do, you know, aside from helping property owners with conservation easements, you know, we're the three C's. We talk about the three C's that we cover: conservation, community, and connection. And I guess probably, you know, it might be hard for me to zoom out in a big picture but I believe that so strongly on a personal level. I mean, I was a supporter of the land trust and a user of, you know, Pine Street Woods before I ever worked at or really knew much about the land trust. And so when I go for a walk in the Pine Street Woods and I see trail signs with our partner sponsors' names on them, and I see little kids learning how to bike on the easy trails there, I just think this is part of my community, and I'm just so proud to be a part of that. And it just makes me want to, you know, kind of go out and spread the word.
Is the good word.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
This is a shining star in our community.
Oh,
just
that's so
like
kind.
Community radio.
Kind of you. Thank
it's
you.
It's true. Well, the expansion of programs, and I just want to give a picture of something that happened last night. Kayla, were you involved in this at all?
I wasn't.
Okay.
I wasn't here for that.
Well, do you know about it?
Not all the details.
Okay.
So, well, standing room only. This really kind of lets people know how you know, we're really turning Astor Garden into a community resource.
It's
a standing room only workshop on composting.
Okay. So there's this company called Seacoast Compost. And they had a workshop, as you just said, on composting with conversation behind it. Why? Why do we want to do this, and how easy it can be? What is biodynamics, building healthier soil, growing more vibrant plants, improving garden vitality? And the reason we're saying this, it happened yesterday from 3 to 4 at Astor Garden Center right here in Sandpoint, which Kiniksu Land Trust recently purchased, turning it into an educational mecca, I'm going to call it, for our community. So that's just a little picture of what's to come in this realm of at the Astor Garden Center. Really cool program.
Well, we get the question, and it's a totally valid question. Why did you buy a garden center?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
And people came to us when the previous owners of the garden center put it up for sale. People immediately started reaching out to the land trust saying, this would be a good thing for KLT to look at. And it has only been, we've only been open since mid-April. And we have had multiple classes and events. Tonight, Astor After Hours, we have live music.
Let's talk about that in depth here. Why is it called Astor After Hours, and what is happening tonight?
Mm-hmm.
And it's open to the public, I'm guessing.
So it absolutely. It really is an opportunity just for people to gather. The Garden Center will be open. We'll be having specials on various different plants. Harold's IGA will be playing. We've got, I think, OPA food truck. We have crafters and farmers market style booths. Our Cedar Circle members can come and have their first free beverage and their Cedar Circle pint cup. But this is something that we have decided to do the first Wednesday of every month during the summer hours when Astor Garden Center is open. And it's educational, it's outreach, it's fun. We had our first one the first Wednesday in July, and people showed up out of the woodwork. The food truck ran out of food. We ran out of beverages. It was a good thing.
So people are really seeking this kind of thing.
Yeah, it's and connection.
It's there you go.
It's
community connection and conservation.
And people, you know, we had a lot of friends of KLT come, but then also people came just because they, you know, they wanted to listen to the band. And people came and asked us, why did you buy a garden center? And with us owning Astor Garden Center, all of the income from the garden center goes to the programs and the efforts of KLT. So maybe we don't have to rely as much on grants, which grants are getting much, much harder to obtain, you know, in a really tight, you know, nonprofit fundraising environment.
Astor Garden Center is actually can be, I would say, a nonprofit business for Kinnexu Land Trust. You have beautiful plants and flowers. You're having events. You can have a great big donation jar and sign people up for the Cedar Circle.
Absolutely.
It's easy, folks. And so the good news is Kinnexu Land Trust is doing amazing things. Again, tonight, after hours, Wednesday, July 1st, that's today, from 5 to 7 at 924 West Superior Street, in partnership with the Farmers Market. Makes sense. Live music, Harold's IGA, beer, wine, food truck, flash plant sale, and folk school crafts.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about folk school crafts, folk school. We didn't really get to talk much about the bike ride, though.
We have about 2 minutes for the bike ride.
Which is so cool.
What's happening?
It's so cool.
Yeah, so this Clark Fork River Pedal and Farm Tour. Okay. This will be the third year of it. And it started in big partnership with the Extension Office in Sanders County. We had seen, Mission area, Lake County in Montana do this same ride. And it's a bike ride. You start in one spot. You do this about between 25 to 30 miles of biking. But along the way, you're stopping at local agriculture properties. You're stopping at farms and forests along the way and learning from those property owners, you know, their legacy in agriculture and sharing, you know, their food that they might grow or, you know, how they use their timber to make money on their own property. And so it really is a highlight of local working farms and lands. We highlight some public access properties occasionally. And it's a huge celebration of local agriculture in a way and recreation because you're riding your bike outdoors.
Family oriented.
Yeah, very family oriented. You know, we have people, I wish I knew off the top of my head the oldest person, but last year we had, you know, a toddler riding along with the parents. And I think we had about 5 children. And this is an event that also sells out every year mm-hmm. now.
When is this happening again?
So this will be August 1st.
So there's still time to sign up?
Yeah, we have about 12 tickets left.
All right.
And we have moved it around Sanders County each year because we have so many awesome things to highlight over there. So this year's event is headquartered in Herrin, which is the town closest to the Montana-Idaho border. And we'll actually have our Cabinet View Nature Area that KLT owns as a stop. And then one farm that's on the Idaho side of the border. So we actually partnered with a new partner for this year's event, the Bonner County Extension Office. So that's been really fun, too.
It's a blast.
And how
it is so much fun.
Get one of those 12 tickets still?
You can find it on our website at kinnexu.org. We also have, a registration page itself, bikereg, bikereg.com/CFR pedal. And if you can't remember all of that, it is on our events on the kinnexu.org.
Yeah, you go to the calendar.
Yeah. Click on that. And just to mention, too, the end of it, it all starts and ends at the Herrin Community Center. There will be their annual farmers market. It's a really small community, so they aren't able to host a weekly one. They host an annual one, and it'll be the same day. And then our event goers, the bike riders, will get a locally sourced meal at the end of it. There will be locally sourced snacks along the whole route. And then people can also just buy a lunch ticket.
Lunch is so good.
We have about 20 more of those, but only about 12 more bike riders.
Okay.
So there is more to just come and enjoy the lunch with live music and all those agriculture.
Sounds fantastic. A lot going on at Kinnexu Land Trust.
Always.
Go to kinnexu.org, look at their calendar. Pull down, and I just want to thank both of you for coming in today. This is enlightening, inspiring, And it's always good to hear from you. You're welcome to come anytime. Again, we want to thank you for being a vital underwriter and here at KRFY, because we're in the same boat as you oftentimes. All of our broadcasters are volunteers. Also, volunteers, it's the other element that makes a nonprofit work. I'm just going to say that because I know it's true.
Thank you, Susie. Yeah. This has been great.
So I want to thank Janine Smith, Development and Operations Associate with Kinnexa Land Trust, and Kayla Mosher coming all the way from Montana. I hope you have other meetings this morning here in Sandpoint.
Yeah.
Montana Outreach Coordinator. So thank you so much for coming in. If you did not get to hear this broadcast, the whole thing, you can tune in at 2 p.m. today for a rebroadcast, or you can go to our website later in the day. It will be on as a podcast. We appreciate all the KRFY listeners. Thanks for tuning in today. There's a lot going on tonight. We have Velma Queen of Fun from 6 to 8, maybe. I think her show is. So stay tuned for that. And enjoy Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long. And at 2 p.m., a rebroadcast of this morning's morning show. And next week, Chris Bessler will be back. Thanks, Chris, for all the work you do as a co-host with me. I appreciate you. And the last thing I want to say is we hope everyone has a beautiful day. Thank you.
Agreed. Thanks.
Thank you.